Good morning, and welcome to Line One, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host for today's program, Prentice Pemberton. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as ACA or Obamacare, was passed into law on March 23rd of 2010. Since that time, the ACA has had numerous critics and has been a constant source of partisan politics at its worst, culminating with the repeal and replace efforts by the Trump administration and the GOP in 2017. Despite the fighting and the efforts to bring it down, the ACA now seems to be taking root as a program that a growing number of Americans see as an important benefit and a positive step towards the goal of providing high-quality, affordable health care to every American. This year's open enrollment period for the ACA began on November 1st and will run for 6 weeks, ending December 15th. Joining me to discuss what's new for 2019, how the open enrollment period works in Alaska and where you can find help, and what you can expect while going through the enrollment process are COO Sue Brogan and lead navigator Jane Strait from the United Way of Anchorage. Welcome to Line One. I appreciate you both taking the time to join me.
Good morning. Good morning.
Did I get your name pronounced correctly? Is it?
You had a rough start, but you pulled it off at the end. Yeah, you did well.
Save.
Thank you.
Okay. On today's program, we're interested in caller questions or comments about the ACA enrollment process or healthcare in general. If you've engaged in the enrollment, gone through it, would like to share your experience, please don't hesitate to call in. Both Sue and Jane are well-versed in everything ACA, and they're raring to go and ready to answer any questions you might have. Ways to reach us, there's three ways. You can call in Anchorage. Our local phone number is 550-8433. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, you can reach us on our toll-free number. That's 1-888-353-5752. Last way is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. You got to spell out line one, L-I-N-E-O-N-E. All right. As I mentioned in the beginning, you're both from the United Way, and I guess I'd like for both of you to kind of introduce yourselves. I guess we can start with you, Sue. How you came to be involved, what your role is there, and how you're involved with the ACA.
Well, again, thanks for having us. This is Sue Brogan. I've been with United Way for 23 years. I'm the COO, and we really see at United Way, we've had access to healthcare as a goal for many, many years. And so we're really interested in affordable and accessible healthcare options. And so the first year that the Navigator grant became available, we applied. So this will be our sixth open enrollment that we've been assisting consumers in Anchorage with finding the best options for them and their families.
Okay, and Jane?
Hi, I'm Jane Strait, and I'm the lead navigator for our Navigator program at United Way, and I've been doing this work for 3 years now, so this will be my fourth open enrollment. And our work as navigators is really dual-focused. The navigator job is actually something that was written into the Affordable Care Act. The government foresaw that that insurance is complicated, and that a lot of us, if we have insurance at work, we may have an HR department or a speaker who comes in and explains our benefits to us. But if I'm going to be shopping on my own for insurance on the marketplace, I may need help understanding health insurance. So hence the Navigator program. And it's kind of two-pronged. I kind of think of it as that old story about, you know, giving someone a fish versus teaching them to fish.
Right. Uh-huh.
The Navigator doesn't just sit down and enroll you. It doesn't just do it for you and say, here's the plan I think you should have. It's an educational program just as much as it's an enrollment assistance. So part of it is one-on-one, helping people complete their enrollment. But then there's also a lot of community education and outreach, helping people understand health insurance and how to access it.
All right. Yeah, I think with any new program, it takes a while to get up and running and work out all the kinks. And you mentioned something about, you know, the first time through any of these things is really, really difficult. And so I assume the navigator job is, yeah, you teach them, and then the next years in the future, they've got it all down. So hopefully that would, the need for navigators would kind of reduce over time. But I guess the question historically, since this thing started in 2010, and it doesn't seem like that, it seems like the healthcare, the ACA just kind of came out, and it seems like a new thing. And I looked up, how long has it been around? And it's been, you know, since 2010, but I'm curious, United Way was in from the start, mm-hmm. essentially. Mm-hmm. What kind of changes have you seen as this thing has kind of grown and the politics have changed? Has it grown? And I mean, are you getting more support, less support? I know last year Jesse Meekins from came on in the show and had this conversation last November or December, and she had mentioned that the funding for Navigators and for advertising had been cut from something like $100 million to $10 million for last year's cycle. So what has changed since the beginning?
I think what has stayed consistent is that it is a major point of conversation and major points of debate. And that's that was the first year. If you'll recall, right out of the chute, the website didn't work. I mean, we were facing horrendous amounts of media and media questions and negativity and trying to sort all that out. And then the major tool that they gave us to be successful crashed. And so, fortunately, over time, that's gotten better, although it has still, like technology, all technology, it has its blips. So, you know, I think that, as Jane pointed out, the education and information needs to be a consistent component to this effort. The other thing that we have seen that has changed, unfortunately, because of the lack of funding, is the lack of ability to have other organizations participate as navigators.
Okay.
So this year, the funding for the entire state of Alaska went down to $100,000, $100,000 to serve the entire state.
That's for all the navigators? Is that for marketing and promotion?
That's for everything. So, you know, we had some key partners unable to participate because the lack of funding. We were all competing for $100,000. So what that put us in a position, which I think, you know, we're pretty good at it, United Way, is figuring out which partners to bring in that are going to help us. And so Alaska Primary Care Associates, Jesse's organization, came on as a help us get the word out. Division of Insurance came on for the state of Alaska to help get the word out. So, I mean, it puts everybody else in a different kind of positioning. And we've been very successful with, you know, letting people know we need help. We were beating the pavement to say, hey, this is important. If you put value on this, come and partner with us. And so a lot of kudos and appreciation to those folks that are helping getting the word out. So that's been a big change. I mean, the marketplace itself, you know, we've ebbed and flowed with the providers, the number of providers. I think the first couple of years there were maybe three in the marketplace. Now we're down to one provider in the marketplace.
Yeah.
That's been a big change. We're always waiting to see what the rates are going to do, what the premium amounts are going to do, you know, and then we have to kind of retool and, you know, get ready to help consumers understand that. There's some other nuances if there's changes in laws like the mandate. So, you know, it remains something that, you know, we stay on top of. Again, that's the role of the navigator.
All right. Well, you mentioned the mandate, and let's talk about, I guess, start with the open enrollment period. What does that mean? Who needs to sign up? Maybe this is a question for you, Jane, as the lead navigator.
Sure.
Who needs to sign up? Who doesn't? Is there, what changes? I mean, is there a penalty? Sure. I heard the mandate, that's changed. What's new?
The short answer is who needs to sign up or who needs to look into signing up is anyone who doesn't have insurance.
Okay.
So
not provided by either Medicaid or
by a lot of other providers.
Jobs. Yeah.
That's okay. Right. So some people, as you indicated, some people are covered by a program such as Medicare, or if you're in the military, you're covered by TRICARE, you might be covered by Medicaid. Some people have insurance through their place of work. But anyone who's out there who doesn't have an opportunity to be covered by insurance through any other means should definitely look into the healthcare.gov marketplace. And so once a year, there's an open enrollment period to purchase your own insurance. Healthcare.gov is a marketplace where insurance companies sell insurance, and they go through their state, so here in Alaska, they go through the Division of Insurance of the state of Alaska to say, we would like to sell insurance on the marketplace in Alaska. That's approved. And then when you go visit healthcare.gov, you put in, you know, what state you're from, and you see what's available to you. So here in Alaska, we have one insurance company Premera Alaska, which is a Blue Cross Blue Shield company that is offering plans in the marketplace to Alaska. And once a year, from November 1 to December 15th, people who are uninsured can go to the marketplace via the healthcare.gov website and look at the plans being offered and make a selection. And that's the core of it. And the navigator is there, if people need it, to help them with that enrollment process.
If we have one, yeah, go ahead, Sue.
I was just going to mention that that's another thing that changed significantly. From the first couple of years, the enrollment period was much longer, and we also had what was called special enrollment periods. Now it's November 1st to December 15th, and then, you know, it's life circumstance could put you in a special enrollment period, but I mean, that's it. November 1st to December 15th, and get everybody squeezed into that time period. It's hard. It's extremely hard.
Well, so. And last year it went from, I mean, what was the time period a couple of years ago? Because last year it dropped to 6 weeks. It was.
Originally, I think it was 3 months.
Yeah, significantly more.
Yeah, we
it was
had
like
lots
double.
Of time, and we had a lot of time to get the, you know, information and the education
right.
out there and reach out to all the groups of people, because we're a community-facing navigator organization. So we deal.
What does that mean, community-facing navigator?
Well, we meet people where they are.
Okay.
So we go to the library, and we do Partners for Progress, and we do the municipality's health clinic, and we do Alaska Literacy with their immigration population. I mean, we're out and about in a lot of different venues, but, you know, 6 weeks is a short time to get all of that crammed in there. So.
Yeah, and now we're down to five.
Right.
So so it's really happening.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it should be that complicated if there's just Premera. Why is this, like, like, okay, so you have all these choices, though, they're one. But maybe there's more, it's more complex than that. I heard some advertising from Moda. They used to be one that was here, and it kind of jumped in my brain since I was hearing it on the radio. Are they not coming back, or was there?
Well, one of the things to realize, the marketplace is, or through healthcare.gov, is the place to access a tax credit if you're eligible for one,
okay.
to help you purchase insurance. So there may be other individual insurance that's available, and you could purchase it outside of the marketplace.
Ah.
But if you are someone who's going to be eligible for that tax credit to help with the cost of buying insurance, the only way to access that is through the marketplace. So there indeed may be other options. And if you are someone who doesn't have insurance and your income is over eligibility, you
okay.
may decide, okay, I'm going to go meet with an insurance broker, and I'm going to see if there are other options out there. I may or may not choose one of those plans that's offered through the marketplace. But in order to access the tax credit to help with your premium, you have to go through healthcare.gov.
Okay, you mentioned eligibility. How is that determined for the tax credit? How do you know? How do you find out? If you don't have health insurance and you make a you know, significant amount of money, then you might not qualify for that, but you can still purchase through?
Absolutely.
All right. So it's for everyone, but how do you qualify for the tax credit or for the savings plan? Are there any premium assistance programs?
Sure.
That I know got cut or?
The tax credit is based on income.
Okay.
And there's one application through healthcare.gov for everything from expanded Medicaid, including tax credits and people whose income is too high to qualify for anything. One of the things that Alaska did when we expanded Medicaid was we decided to use that healthcare.gov online application as one application for everything. So you come in, you sit down, you fill out your application, you put in your income information, and it's just a fork in the road. If you're Medicaid eligible, it just says, it tells you are and says, I'm sending your information electronically to the state. If you're above that, you put in your income information, and up to that limit, it will tell you you're eligible for a tax credit of this amount. And then it takes you on to the plans, and it shows you what they would cost you with that tax credit. The limit, the income limit for a tax credit is 400% of the federal poverty level. What
okay.
does that look like? For an individual in the state of Alaska, that's an income of around $60,700 this year for a household of one.
That's four times the poverty limit?
Mm-hmm. So we actually find a lot of people who've heard just a simple idea that the Affordable Care Act insurance marketplace is unaffordable.
Right.
And they don't
The
look.
Unaffordable Care Act.
Right. And they're really surprised to find out that they would be eligible for a tax credit. So a single individual might come in who makes $55,000 and they're sure there's no way they can get any help. And lo and behold, they can.
All right. Another thing, are there any other changes? The mandate. That was one of the things that I was wondering about. I had read that it had been removed. There wasn't a penalty.
The mandate penalty has been removed for tax year 2019. So people filing taxes for the tax year were just ending 2018. It's still in place. But then for 2019, the penalty attached to the mandate has been removed. There aren't a lot of changes for Alaskans this year. The premiums did go down a little bit here in Alaska. Another change that Premera, our provider, made is they've changed their provider network. So folks who have their insurance through Premera, through the marketplace, who aren't spending the whole year in the state of Alaska need to take a look at that. The provider network is now going to be just Washington State and Alaska. So say, for example, that you're a snowbird and you're going to be gone for 3 months and you've got your plan through the marketplace. That's going to cover you in an emergency, but if you have some elective medical something and you decide you're going to wait and do it when you get to Arizona, you're going to be paying out of network. So that is one change that folks should be aware of in our plans that Premier is offering this year. The provider network is now the two states of Alaska and Washington. It doesn't affect most people, but it's one of those kinds of educational things.
It makes my wheels turn. I mean, because if you're in Canada, you can't get covered unless you buy like outside insurance, right? But now that was always a question for my parents, like when they go to Canada or if we go on vacation, do you buy trip health insurance and that kind of stuff? But now I can't go to Georgia and get, I mean, emergency you could get care, but I couldn't go to Georgia to get a knee surgery. Or I mean, that would be one of the limitations.
You'd have to look at your provider network. With any insurance, you have to look at what's your provider network that's available to you.
All right. Cost, it's gone down, you said. How is that cost determined? And is it helpful if everybody signs up? Is that how the pool gets established to create the cost? I mean, how is the cost established? You said every year you wait to see if it's going up or down. Like, how is that determined? I'm sure it's super complex.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of factors that influence it. And obviously, the more people that participate, the better. And you have if you have a broad pool and have healthy people in it, it's going to keep your costs.
Wasn't really on my radar, but do you, either one of y'all, have any information about the high risk pool? About, you know, there was some talk about taking, you know, these people that have millions of dollars in expenses, is that how that works? It cranks up, it rises all of it? Or if they took a high-risk pool, I've heard people talk about that as an option to reduce the overall healthcare costs for the general or most of the population, right?
It's through the Division of Insurance. So Lori Winghire would be the perfect person to answer that question because she was instrumental in helping to establish the success around that and bringing funding into the high risk and managing all of that for us in the state. So I would really defer to her.
Okay.
And maybe if she's listening, she'll call in because she would be the perfect person to answer that question.
I just think it's such a fascinating question, how these pools and how the fees are determined and the costs. And I know that if you have a very small pool and there's a high cost, a lot of high cost folks, then obviously it goes up. And, you know, listening to Nancy Pelosi this morning before I came in here after President Trump spoke, she was healthcare. The main goal for the Democrats was to save the ACA in the last 2 years. They met, and she said, on election night and came up with their strategy just as the Republicans did when Obama launched the ACA and said we are determined to make it fail. It seems like this is sort of like the root of much of this conflict is this healthcare thing. And so the cost providing affordable healthcare, is that to every American? That was the stated goal of the ACA, right?
Well, I think we've certainly learned that healthcare matters to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bottom line. Exactly.
Okay. Let me see. Where am I? I got kind of sidetracked. If you're just tuning in, my guests today are Sue Brogan and Jane Strait from the United Way of Anchorage. Today's topic is the Affordable Care Act and the 2019 open enrollment period. Have you enrolled? Was it easy or frustrating? Is the cost affordable as advertised? We'll find out. If you call in, give us your questions or comments. My guests will be happy to answer those. After this short break, we'll be right back. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line One, Your Health Connection.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska wants to remind residents that open enrollment for individual and family health plans is now through December 15th. Many Alaskans qualify for a tax credit on their premiums to help lower the cost of coverage, and according to a study by KF Foundation, average tax credits for Alaskans who qualified in 2017 were over $700 a month. Learn more and estimate your tax credit at primera.com. This message sponsored by Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska.
Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. If you're just tuning into the program, my guests today are Sue Brogan and Jane Strait from the United Way of Anchorage. Our topic is the Affordable Care Act's six-week open enrollment period, which began on November 1st and runs through December 15th of this year, obviously. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic, we can be reached in three ways. In Anchorage, our phone number is 550-8433. If you're listening to us statewide, our toll-free number is 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to get your questions or comments on the air is to email them to line1@alaskapublic.org. Please remember the show repeats tonight at 8, so if you're listening then, we will not be able to answer phone calls. All right. If you're out there and you got questions or comments, and especially if you've done it, I'd be curious to hear from anybody who's actually gone through the enrollment process or used the navigator process. What was that experience like for you? If you could share that with us and help folks out, or if you could email us your questions or comments, share your experience, that would be, I think, helpful. It always adds some flavor. All right. So before the break, we were talking about, navigation process and the enrollment period. And we talked a little bit about I'd like to hear what can people expect if I go online and I'm just going to start this. I don't have any insurance and I'm like, okay.
Sure.
What do I do?
Healthcare.gov is the website and it's a super user-friendly one. And we caution people, the first thing we caution
that's
people.
That's unusual in and of itself, right?
We caution people to make sure it's the .gov.
As opposed to
anything else that anything might else. Look like it, but it isn't it.
Okay.
And it actually has an estimator tool on it. So people can go on and not even start their application. Maybe they're just curious to find out, based on my income, would I be one of those folks that's eligible for a tax credit? How much would it be? How much are the premiums? And you just answer quick little questions. Remember, with the Affordable Care Act, we can't ask health questions, and we don't charge different rates based on men or women. Your premium just varies based on where you live and your age, and the only health question that's asked is about tobacco use. So you answer quick questions like, I live in Alaska, how old am I, how many people in my household, how much do I think I'm going to make in 2019? And you can get right through to the plans, and you can actually sit there and see them, see what they would cost you if you're going to get a tax credit, about how much it would be. And then through the website, everything you want to know about those plans is there. You can drill all the way in and see the summary of benefits. You can, if you've got prescription drugs that you take, you can pull up the what's called the drug formulary, which is the list of what's covered.
Right.
It has a comparison tool. You know how like when you're online shopping for a refrigerator or something, uh-huh. you can do the same thing. You can pull two plans up side by side and look at them and compare them. So it's really useful. And then the application process itself is pretty simple. When you meet with a navigator, that's what they do. You're sitting side by side at a computer, and they're helping you go through and complete your application online, just as you would do at home. And then they take time to explain to you. Our navigators find that a lot of times there are things people don't understand. Maybe they don't understand how to read that summary of benefits, so they take as much time as you need to go through all of the information with you that you're seeing. And then a big part of the application is also figuring out, well, what is considered income? What do I need to put in that income section?
Right.
So they help you with that, and there's information on the website that would help you figure that out as well.
How many navigators are at work in Anchorage or in Alaska, I guess?
There's two kinds of, we call them assisters. They're right. navigators. We're the only navigator organization in the state. Okay. And then there are also certified application counselors. They have essentially the same training, but certified application counselors don't have the requirement to do the outside education and outreach.
Right.
And I don't know how many there are, to tell you the truth. It's certainly not in the hundreds.
Okay.
How many assisters across the state? I would say probably, yeah, not 100, probably 50. I mean, I would be surprised if there's 50. We have 4 full-time navigators at United Way.
And y'all are you pretty busy? I mean, people are coming through.
We are. We do community events. We're at the library. You can go to, you can access information about that by calling 211, the statewide yeah. health and human service system that we operate at United Way. We also have it on our website at United Way, liveunitedanc.org. But we are busy, and we have folks that come back to us now year after year, you know, wanting the assistance and enrollment. So that's kind of nice as well. But yeah, you know, it's a short time period. So we, as Jane mentioned, when we're at the library and individuals are meeting with navigators, sometimes, you know, and we're in a room with computers, sometimes they just need a little bit of help getting started, and then they do it on their own.
Right.
But it's just kind of nice to have somebody there if they have a question.
Yeah, like, hey, what do I do here?
How do I get my account started and that kind of thing? So that's what we do a lot of as well. It's not all the, you know, extreme hand-holding. It's just those simple questions, too.
All right. Well, as I requested, we have someone who just signed up yesterday. Courtney, you're in Anchorage. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I signed up using the phone system, though, not the computer.
Okay. You did it on the phone. We haven't talked about that. How was that for you?
You know, I got to say it was pretty easy, but this is the third year I did it, and the other years it was not so easy. So that being said, this year went really, really quick as it can go. And,
Now, is it because the system got better, or you had kind of got it down the first 2 years and figured it out?
You know, that's an interesting question. Probably a combination of both. Probably because I know that it's going to take a little while, and probably because they have my information. So a lot of it is just, you know, this is still your address, this is still your income, you know.
Okay, so that would be quicker, yeah.
Yeah, so it cuts down on a little bit of time that way. And I don't think they've really changed anything.
Okay.
To be honest, like, with their system. So
all right. Yeah. How long did it take you overall?
About an hour.
Okay, on the phone, and you were speaking with a real person. Wow.
Yeah. And this is the first year that I didn't really. I mean, it was about 5 minutes on hold, and you know, they just went through anything, no problems. I've called before where the computer has crashed.
Right.
They've dropped my call. Their computer had to update. I mean, hours they spent on the phone before. So I don't want to discourage anybody.
Right,
you know, no. This year it was really easy, I guess. I should be encouraging.
All right. Do our guests have any questions for Courtney?
No. Courtney brings up a really great point, though. You can also enroll over the phone. There's a national call center operated by healthcare.gov. It's open 24/7 throughout open enrollment. And they will go read, as she said, your entire application to you over the phone, however long it takes, and fill it out for you. So it's an easy way to go.
Yeah, they sat with her for an hour. Well, Courtney, thank you. That was good information. You gave us something new. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. We'll keep going. We're getting a few phone calls. So we'll go to Peg in Fairbanks. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Good morning. Great topic. As I've always been confused about signing up again. I've been participating in the ACA for many years, and I've had huge insurance premiums. My income fluctuates a lot. And I'm just understanding that I actually need to call in and redo an application every year to adjust that. But when my income changes and I don't know what it is until the end of the year, how is that dealt with?
Yeah, you're right. You absolutely need to re-enroll each year and take a look at your income and realize that you can call healthcare.gov anytime during the year and access your application. So I think the best thing that you can do, you know, is stay on top of accurate information about your income as best as you can. The assistance that people receive, the tax credits that's based on income, when you're filling out that application now during open enrollment, you're providing an estimate of what you think you're going to make in the coming calendar year of 2019. Okay. And so when a person enrolls, they're not locked into that. So anytime income changes happen during the year, you have anything that you could report, you can get back into your healthcare.gov account or call the call center and say, I need to report a change in my income. That tax credit can be adjusted throughout the year.
So you could either lose tax credit or gain it based on your income change?
Right.
Okay. And is any of this retroactively applicable? I believe when I first joined, my income was on a relatively higher step. And 1 year I paid $18,000 in premiums as a self-employed person. And I didn't even use insurance that year, I don't believe, for any kind of medical benefits. So I've been, you know, willing to support this system and realize that there are a lot of people who can't, you know, afford things. I think it's been an improvement over what has gone before. But,
Yeah, it's one of the things that's interesting about the tax credits is when you're applying and it tells you you're going to get a tax credit, it then asks you three choices. Do you want to receive all of the tax credit that you appear to be eligible for each month as you're, so that you're paying part of your premium and the tax credit's paying the rest? Do you just want to do part of it? Or do you want to wait and pay the full premium yourself all year and wait until tax time to get that tax credit? Because you're exactly right. If you end up not eligible for a tax credit because your estimate was wrong, you could be paying that back.
Right.
So people have to, it's very connected to your income taxes and making, in the process of this application, making decisions about how you want to use that tax credit, depending on your personal tax and income situation.
Well, Peg, is your rates gone down from 1800? Because that's not affordable care.
A little bit. Right now I pay $1,216 a month. So my premium has dropped by about $300 for this year over last year, but that's still incredibly high.
It's incredibly high. All right. I guess I want to ask you you folks, like, why is that a normal cost? Is that typical or is that an exception? And there's no way that that's sustainable for most of the people in America.
Well, remember, your premiums are based on age, and so you're exactly right. The older you are, the higher your premium is going to be. And so when we hear Alaskans talking about the high cost of their health insurance,
right,
it's probably someone who has to buy their own insurance, who's a little older, and who makes too much money to qualify for one of those tax credits. So
But probably not enough to pay
exactly
$1,400 a month.
Exactly. That's the bind.
Yeah. And that's for a bronze plan with a high deductible.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
so it's been frustrating. So retroactively, can I go back and look through taxes from the last few years and see if a credit can be a gain from what's probably been my own error and not renewing correctly in terms of updating the changes to income?
Off the top of my head, I don't think so, but it's certainly worth asking. You could contact healthcare.gov and ask that question.
Okay.
Yeah, but
or
Peg,
the IRS.
That's a great point, though, and people should know that you do need to go back on every year and update your information because of that very reason. It could affect your rates. They could go down significantly. You hope they won't go up. And but thank you, Peg, for that call. And it's obviously worth a check. Just call them. There may be some.
Well, and it should be true that if you applied for your insurance through healthcare.gov, and you gave it all the income information, and it said you weren't eligible for a tax credit, that should have been reconciled then when you filed taxes for that year. So that's what they call reconciliation. So at the end of the thing, healthcare.gov and the IRS get together to figure out, were you given the right size tax credit? And if you were given too much, then that's taken back in taxes. If you were given too little, then it's given to you at that time of reconciliation. So thinking about it, as long as you're filing your taxes and you're going through healthcare.gov to buy your insurance, it should be reconciled at the time of tax filing.
It's sort of like your estimated tax payment. If you paid too much, you get it back. If you paid too little, you owe more. Maybe. Yeah. All right, Peg, thanks. I hope that helped, but I appreciate you bringing up that point. That's a good one.
Okay.
Thanks, Peg.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll go to one more call. We got Mary. You're on line one. You want to tell us about your experience?
Yeah, hi. I just want to say I renewed mine. I've been on the Affordable Care Act I've been on Obamacare for about 3 or 4 years now, ever since it started. And the system really got streamlined. I was able to renew my care. And I helped a friend renew her care, and on the computer it only took about half an hour to
That's
do
great.
It. So the system is really streamlined and it's really efficient. And I just want to say Obamacare is the best health insurance I've ever had because I'm self-employed and I've always had high deductibles, and I have low deductibles and low payments now. So it's finally affordable health insurance.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. That's great.
Okay. Thanks. Great day.
Yeah, I guess I just am perplexed. It just goes back, like, she's super happy. She's got affordable health care. She's got low deductibles, good premium payments. And then Peg is at $1,200 a month.
Well, there's a second type of assistance that we didn't talk about. It's called the cost sharing reductions.
All right.
And we may have heard about that in the news, that there were some news stories about whether the cost sharing reduction payments were being made to the insurance companies. But another.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, but it's in the law that mm-hmm. there have to be the cost sharing reductions. So it doesn't matter whether the payments are being made. It might affect premiums, but it doesn't matter if the payments are being made. And the cost sharing reductions are something that kicks in at 250% of poverty level if the consumer purchases a silver plan. So the plans in the marketplace, they have metal levels, bronze, silver, gold. Mm-hmm. In our marketplace here in Alaska with Premier, there are two bronze plans, two silver and a gold. Gold being the most expensive usually, though sometimes this year it's not. That's a complicated story. So, for example, I'm looking at my little cheat sheet here. The income cutoff for a household of one for this year for the cost-sharing reduction help is $37,950.
Household of one. Okay.
Household of
single.
One. Yeah. For a couple, it's $51,450. So some folks are getting a tax credit as well as the cost-sharing reduction. And the cost-sharing reduction, just like it sounds like, reduces your costs of using your insurance. It lowers your deductible. And it may lower your out-of-pocket maximum as well. So that's why you'll hear, again, from different people with different experiences, because it depends on where your household
right.
falls on the income chart.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's all relative at some point. If you're making, $50,000 and your payments are $300 a month or $250 versus you're making $150,000 and they're $1,000 a month, maybe that's... Maybe that's it's all relative, right?
I think the toughest bind is people who are just over those income limits and who are maybe in their, say, early 60s. I mean, until when you hit 65, you can go into Medicare. But when you get in those last few years before Medicare eligibility, your premium's going to be at the top of the scale because of your age. And then if you're just over that income limit, that's where you're going to get those really high premiums that are tough to afford.
That's what you call a blind spot, like, or that's a spot you don't want to be in. Like, that's the area where it's going to, the perfect storm, everything kind of, you don't have quite enough, you're not quite, don't have enough of a, you know, income to pay it, but you don't make enough to, Okay, I guess we're up against our second break. So if you're just tuning in, my guests today are Sue Brogan and Jane Strait from the United Way of Alaska. Our topic is the Affordable Care Act 6-week open enrollment period, which began on November 1st and runs through December 15th. If you have a question or a comment for my guests, please call in or email, I'd say, in the next 10 minutes so we can get your question or comment on the air. Our Anchorage phone number is 550-8433. Statewide or nationally, our toll-free number is 1-888-353-5752. And the last way is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. Please stay with us after this short break. We'll continue our conversation about the ACA and the 2019 open enrollment period. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line 1, Your Health Connection.
Funding for Line 1, Your Health Connection was made possible in part by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and listeners just like you. Thank you.
Welcome back to Line 1, Your Health Connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. If you're just tuning in today, my guests are Sue Brogan and Jane Strait from the United Way of Anchorage. Our topic is the Affordable Care Act and the 6-week open enrollment period, which began on November 1st and runs through December 15th. If you have a question or a comment, our Anchorage phone number is 550-8433. We can be reached toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, we have another caller. We'll just go ahead and go to Tom. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm one of those people that the Affordable Care Act never helped at all.
Okay.
Because my income was just a little bit too high. And the payments, there's no way I could have afforded the payments or the deductibles. So now I'm drawing Social Security, getting ready to turn 65. And another conundrum's coming up because when they start taking out money for the Part A and B, not even including D, it's going to cut my income again. I don't, you know, it's just been no help to me whatsoever. And I always hear people on the radio saying, oh, it's been so good, you know, like the last lady, you know,
right.
And it has helped some people, but I bet you there's a whole lot more of them out there like me that, you know, don't quite fit into it. And so it's still not the best thing on the earth.
All right. And I think that you bring up a good point, Tom, and that's something that I've been, you know, really talking about is that those loopholes, those areas, dark black hole areas or whatever you want to call them, where people get lost in the middle and they're kind of shuffling back and forth. They can't afford it. They can't. And is that something, I mean, the ACA was never pitched as a perfect program for healthcare for everybody. Is it a start? Are we working towards fixing these things that Tom and Peg get stuck in? Is that the ultimate goal?
I don't know. It you seems know. Like a good idea. That's
seems like common the right direction, sense. Direction to move in.
That was the idea, I think, behind the, you know, was affordable health care for all Americans. And especially those folks, I think, in those kind of ambiguous areas, the in-between areas where they get stuck and can't really go either way. And that's like, Tom, I think that's what you're saying, is it's just not much of assistance to you. It helps a lot of people, but not that cohort.
Right, and I don't see anything where they're working on trying to, you know, look for where the people fall between the cracks. And, you know, it's pretty frustrating just seeing the whole process the way it is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that's something our legislators need to hear about, and that's something that we as, you get back to voting and putting in folks that really want to shore up the areas and the holes that need shoring up in the ACA to make it better, not to tear it all down and rebuild it, but to improve it. And that's, I hope that's where this is headed. So thank you, Tom, for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. Renee, you're in Kodiak. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Hi there. This Affordable Care Act has not been of any assistance to me as well. I am 62, and yep. I too am self-employed, and I make just a little too much money.
Right in that
what
spot.
What really frustrates me about this is the fact that it doesn't matter how good of care I take care of myself, and I am in good shape, and I feel it's my obligation as, you know, the matriarch of my family to be a good role model and take good care of myself. Mm-hmm. But none of that is even considered. And of course, being 62, there have been a few health scares that have all been negative, but that doesn't seem to matter. I myself am going to look, I know that there are programs out there, mainly they're funded or they're mainly associated with a ministry, but I've been told that there are some that are not, because I don't want to pretend that I go to church every Sunday and lead a lifestyle that
right.
is a lie, that you pay in and then you submit your medical bills, and it's like a co-op kind of thing. And that's what I am going to start investigating. I am giving up completely on Obamacare and any kind of care. And quite frankly, I'm not clicking my heels about Medicare either. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I think these polarized experiences illustrate really the problem with what we're facing in healthcare. And I think the division in our country, like politically, and people not reaching across the aisle, but that's a different conversation for a different day, perhaps. Renee, I thank you for illustrating that point. It does seem everybody that calls in that's like 58 to 60, you know, in their early 60s gets in that spot if they don't have a ton of money. So I appreciate the call. All right. You mentioned something, translation services. Both of you were like, oh, yeah, we got to talk about that. Like, so if you phone calls, websites, complicated navigation stuff, if English is not your first language, what services are available?
Right. That's exactly right. Starting with Alaska 211, if you call Alaska 211 to access a navigator to get help with enrollment or any other reason you call Alaska 211, translation services are always available. You just let the person know and they set that up over the phone.
Okay.
And then if you need that during a navigator appointment, you just let them know, and then they arrange for someone from the language line to dial in. So you sit there with the navigator, and then together you phone into the language line, and the translator for whatever language you need is on there throughout the entire appointment. So
great.
It's a good resource for
and
folks.
And that's free.
Yes,
yep.
It's free. Yeah. And there's also translation services if you call healthcare.gov
That's right.
as well.
Okay.
Yep.
People know what 411 is, or we used to, and then we had Google, so we don't use 411 anymore. Old people know what 411 is, and we know what 911 is. But tell us about 211.
So 211 is a statewide system that United Way operates on
okay.
behalf of all of the United Ways in the state. You can access by dialing the three-digit number 211, or there's a toll-free number, 800-478-2221. And it's Yeah, you're going to talk to a trained information referral specialist that's pulling information from a database that has almost 8,000 different services.
Okay.
So they're going to, first out of the chute, when you talk to them, they're going to refine the search by asking, where do you live? So you're going to want to give them your zip code. And then through a process of conversation, they're going to ask you some questions, or you're just going to say, I need to know the location of the food pantry in Kenai.
Okay.
And they're going to draw that information and then share that information. We can email it to you. We can text it to you. We can give it to you over the phone. It's a free and confidential service. So, you know, if you're inundated with life circumstance and you call and we give you three referrals and you didn't quite remember what the second one was, you can always call back. Or
okay.
you can go online to alaska211.org and look the information up yourself. It's pretty an easy, somewhat easy path to figure out services.
So 211 is like information for resources.
Exactly.
I mean, you call and you can say, I have this issue and I want to know what, are there support groups for this
exactly.
or whatever it is.
Right. You could be looking for a substance recovery service. Like where
homeless.
If you're homeless or if you need a ride to a doctor's appointment or you need childcare, you might have a question about an aging parent and you might wonder about a service for
assisted
them.
Assisted living homes.
Assisted living support, homes,
yeah.
Managed care, and you know, care that could come into your home and help your parents. So it's just a lot of information, a lot of resource information, and it's a partnership with providers. So 211 does not create the resource. We're the, you know, we
the
curate
hub.
It. We're
yeah.
the hub. We're the starting point, and it's all, you know, information from providers that have said, yes, we will take referrals from 211. So folks can, you know, be assured that they will talk to you. Now, the challenge, and I'll tell you, it ebbs and flows. Resources in Alaska ebb and flow. So at certain times of the year, there's not as much help out there, which is
right.
extremely frustrating and really, really hard when callers call in and need that assistance. And we know at 211 that there's not much going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
But we can, you know, brainstorm with people. Maybe there's other things that they can do that can offset some of those costs, and they can shift some of that money around. So yeah, it's a great service. It's not perfect, but
right.
it's you know, we get probably 100 calls a day from all over the state of Alaska. So it's a statewide service that's free and confidential. So we encourage people, if
yeah.
they need help and need resources, to call or send us an email if they're looking for resources.
Wow, you folks at the United Way are helpful.
<That's> a... We try.
Well, you know, we give it our best
shot. All right,
shot.
We got a few phone calls lined up. We're going to go to Jack in Ketchikan. Go ahead. You're on line one, Jack.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
All right.
First off, that your last caller there chatting about the church insurance, church pool, it's a beautiful thing.
Huh.
I'd like to get into it myself, but, you know, no tobacco products. And it's something I don't really understand why we can't get that going in our state. You know, it is a pool of people, pay about $500 a month, and you get good insurance. So I'm a commercial fisherman.
Right.
I can afford insurance in the summertime. Typically in the winter, I cannot.
Right.
And when I did sign up a few years ago, I was paying $620 a month for, I mean, it just seemed like nothing.
Huh.
I mean, yeah, if I get hurt, but the deductible, I forgot, it was just insane. But I guess what I'm getting at here is it seems like this is systemic. I fall
yeah.
in the demographic where I make good money,
yeah.
but I make just a little bit too much. And I don't know. I know a lot of people in my shoes that don't have insurance because it's just not worth it. And I just, not to be a doomsayer, but looking in the future, you know, it seems like we're putting Band-Aids that are just falling off. And my question would be, is there a clear path where we get the prices down? I mean, what are our options?
That's a great question. It's really complicated, and that's one of the things we've been talking about. It doesn't look like there's a clear path, is there? I mean, we'll write your senators. I mean, these are the kind of conversations I think that are important. We're getting information. A whole bunch of people are falling into that loophole. And Jack, I appreciate the call. We're running out of time, and I do want to get a couple more calls. But thank you. Is there a path? Are there people working to close these loopholes? Or as you said, that's a different question for somebody else. Maybe Sue.
Well, I think.
Go ahead.
I think you just answered it, that it is complicated, and I would hope that people are looking into it. I mean, health insurance is super complicated because it's a product that everybody uses, and so it's very much affected by how big of a pool you have and who's in the pool, how healthy they are. But I think that your caller is right. We need to be looking at it. We need to get these healthcare economists and experts to look for some solutions.
Yeah, because that it's not okay. I mean, sort of the opinion that healthcare is a right, that we should be able to provide that for our citizens. Gustavus, I'm sorry, I don't know if I got the name right, but you're on line one. Heidi.
Gustavus.
Oh, okay.
In Gustavus.
Sorry.
Sure. Hi. I just wanted to call in and put in a good word for Obamacare. I think, you know, over the years, my feelings about it have gone up and down as my expectations have changed. I think I started out wanting an affordable health care plan that also gave me basically the ability to go into a medical facility and not get a bill.
Right.
And my expectations have changed somewhat. You know, my husband and I have always decided to get the bronze plan because the deductible is high, you know, it's $6,000 or $7,000 a year. But if we get one of those better plans, we're going to pay $1,000 a month right now. And we've just decided, okay, so it's either, you know, a roll of the dice. If we get hurt, we pay that in a deductible. Or we just pay it out of pocket up front. So we've decided to go bronze.
That's more of a catastrophic plan, isn't it?
That's just kind of what it is. And the good thing I want to say, though, is... you know, we hear a lot from people who are around age 60, but we don't ever talk about families
right.
and people who are trying to have kids and even just providing health care for little kids. My husband and I, over the past decade, we are seasonally employed, we are self-employed, and we work for small businesses that don't provide health insurance. So we're very much part of this rural working life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's no health insurance here for us.
All right, Heidi, thank you so much for the call. I got 1 minute left and I got to get you off the air, but thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. Lee, you got like 20 seconds.
Okay. First, I'm a CPA. I have worked with this a lot over the last several years. The woman who hadn't checked on her premium subsidy should amend her tax returns if appropriate to try and claim a subsidy if
right.
it's due. That's number one. Number two, my family of four, we went from $1,000 a month and $2,500 deductible in 2011 to about $2,800 a month with a $13,000 deductible.
All right. I got to let you go. I appreciate both Sue and Jane for coming on. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
All right. We have quite a few resources listed on our website. Go to alaska.org, click on the link to line one, scroll down, and click on the link to today's show, and you'll find all those. I'll be back next week with a discussion about Medicaid in Alaska. Who qualifies? What does it cover? And is Medicaid expansion a good thing for us? That's next Monday, Wednesday, the 14th at 2, repeating at 8 on FM 91.1, Alaska Public Media. Eric Bork handled the web editing for today's program. Dave Waldron was our audio engineer. I'm Prentice Pemberton. Have a great day.
Line 1 is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Line 1 and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.